Well, that was an enormously disappointing situation.
So there is a chance we could do this, but we would need everybody on board.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, who will be New York's third lieutenant governor in a year? Let's start today with an excerpt of the interview Governor Kathy Hochul did with our station, her first since becoming governor last August. In an extended conversation, Hochul was asked about a high-profile early failure. She tapped Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin soon after being sworn in last summer. By mid-April, he had resigned, hours after being arrested on bribery charges as part of a federal investigation. Now there's a move to replace him on the ballot, which will take changes in state election law. We'll speak with the bill sponsor in just a bit, but first, here's Hochul discussing the situation with WAMC's Alan Shartok.
Well, that was an enormously disappointing situation, but in the context of also simultaneously learning about a subway shooting, I was able to prioritize quickly, get down to the site of the shooting, suspend other events so I could be there with the people who in hospitals, et cetera. So I'm very good at compartmentalizing, Alan. So we knew we would have to deal with this, but in the immediacy, I had to focus on people that were hurting in Brooklyn at that moment and the anxiety and why I took the subway that day to show my confidence in it. So now we have to go through a process to find another replacement, and we'll be very thorough. I'll have a larger team to do vetting. As you know, last time we were just I was still lieutenant governor when we had to start this small team. And you know what? I wish it had turned out differently. I wish we had more information at the time, but knowing what I do now, we would have gone in a different direction for sure. But I can handle this, and I also know that people are not focused on that. They want me to name someone as soon as I can. But that'll be after extensive background. And in the meantime, Andrea Stewart Cousins, who I've spoken with and have a very strong relationship with, she is constitutionally the acting lieutenant governor. So the continuity of government continues. We don't miss a beat, and we move forward.
Did you ask her if she wanted the job?
We haven't had that conversation yet. I just had to deal with the immediacy of I need to know that she's prepared. She's absolutely prepared. In fact, we are together just a few days ago making an incredible announcement for the city of Mount Vernon, which is one of the most impoverished, the most African Americans in any city north of the Mason-Dixon line. And for decades, their pleas for help were ignored. Their sewer and their sanitary sewers are disgusting if you saw the documentaries about it. So I was with her just a couple days ago announcing $150 million. It was the most powerful event I've done as governor to see the people who worked so hard to make this happen, who never dreamed it would happen until there was a governor who actually listened to them and got the job done. So I was just with her at that event. It was really important, the largest environmental justice project in the entire nation. And Washington had representatives there. They're watching what we do. They know we're fixing a lot of racial disparities from the past. And so Andrea and I had a chance to chat there. And she's ready, willing, and a strong, strong ally. So New Yorkers should feel comfortable at this time right now that we have it under control.
Is there a criteria? I mean, for example, should the lieutenant governor, if you're white, be black?
As everyone sees the administration I put together, I have the most diverse administration, racially, sexual orientation, gender of any administration that has ever come before. So people know I prioritize that to make sure that all the voices of New Yorkers are really well represented and are in positions of power and authority to make up for a lot of years where they were held back. And I feel that I can be the training ground for other individuals. So I will look at all the factors, Alan, but I'm not going to say that there is a litmus test as to what I'm looking for, other than someone who's got the heart of a public servant that I do, who wants to get out there and work just as hard as I did as lieutenant governor. And I got a lot of accolades for the fact that I just was unrelenting in my pursuit of serving the people in that capacity, which now, is a record that I can talk about and go forward. So I want someone who's got that same sense of purpose and really believes in the nobility of public service and will never denigrate it and respect it. And I'm going to take the right amount of time to get that accomplished.
Governor Hochul, there is a bill to drop Lieutenant Governor Benjamin from the ballot. He's now quit, But of course, there's a question as to whether you're going to be saddled with him running with you when you're running for governor the next time. What do you think about that? Do you think it's a good idea? But Republicans, of course, are charging that it's just a move to save you from political embarrassment. What do you think?
First of all, I'm not thinking about what the Republicans are criticizing. They criticize the breakfast I have every day, so I don't really pay attention to
what
Republican criticism. I have a power bar and a energy drink that sets me forth the whole day. That's how I power through every day, my great energy drink. So let's see what the Republicans have to say about that one. What I'm going to do is take a look at whatever passes the legislature. You know, this is obviously talked about and initiated by legislators. It's their responsibility if they choose to go down that path. You know, there are some other options. They're limited, of course. I'm not being naive about it, but, you know, there are some other options that are still on the table. But this too shall pass, Alan. As my mother used to always say, you know, people thought we'd never get through, you know, our first few weeks of establishing myself, and there's all kinds of threats from other candidates, and would I ever raise enough money? And I've had so many milestones that we've had to break through where people said, this will be what takes her down. This will not be what has any effect on my ability to get through the election successfully and as well as govern successfully.
Do you have a short list for lieutenant governor?
Well, it's down to 20 million people, Alan. It has to be a New Yorker.
That's a lot.
How about that
one?
Okay, well, actually, Les, I got to segregate out how many are over 18. So we've had a lot of people express interest.
Okay, and now my conversation with Democratic New York State Assemblywoman Amy Paulin, the sponsor of a bill to change state election law to allow Benjamin to withdraw from the ballot. I started by asking her reaction to Benjamin's resignation.
It was very unfortunate. Unfortunate for state government generally, because he's serving right now, and very unfortunate for the voters who will not have an opportunity to vote for someone who will represent them.
Were you surprised?
I wasn't close enough to know one way or the other. I didn't know him that well. I served in the Assembly. He was in the Senate. After all this time in government, nothing surprises me. I just found it very disappointing.
So let's talk about your measure now. Typically, in a situation like this, it would not be possible to replace somebody on the ballot this close to an election. So what are you trying to change?
So the current law doesn't allow, let me flip that. It only allows someone who has moved out of state, becomes a judicial candidate, or is dead to be removed from the ballot. So that leaves a lot of places in between. And clearly what happened here, we know, is one of those places. The other potential problems, you know, what if someone gets diagnosed with a terminal illness? What if they, for personal reasons, needed to resign from the very office that they're seeking because of other reasons? We need to be more flexible. We need to update the law. We need to take into consideration these same factors that we're giving other people in other arenas. You know, we at a time where we're more compassionate for workers on family leave. You know, we have to do the same for people who are representing us. It's only fair to both the individuals running and to the voters who have to vote for them.
Why now, though? Presumably, this loophole, if you want to call it that, in state election law has been in place for many other elections. Why the urgency to do this given the current situation?
Well, as a lawmaker, you look for the example to change the law. I wasn't thinking about this, nor were other people, and then all of a sudden we're faced with this circumstance. So there's two reasons to change the law. One, because the law needs changing, obvious by this example. And two, hopefully we give the voters in this instance an opportunity to vote for someone who is potentially going to represent them. If Brian Benjamin wins what could potentially happen is, you know, then he resigns again, and then the person who's lieutenant governor is then appointed. So the voters had no participation in the choosing of the lieutenant governor. And that would be a shame. So we need to, and his by being in the race, he's going to alter if he doesn't win, he's going to alter the results. And that's also a shame. The voters deserve to have a real election. He deserves to be able to pay attention to his court case. And I'm hoping that this bill could be done in time. I don't know. It's a very short turnaround, but I'm hoping, because then the voters have an opportunity to participate in the very government that they live in.
Well, we heard New York Governor Kathy Hochul, who is supportive of this idea. Have you checked with Speaker Carl Hastie? Does he want to get this through in a hurry?
This was an idea that came about less than a day ago. And I haven't had, with holidays and all coming up, I haven't checked to see whether it's a bill that that the speaker embraces.
Would this apply to all offices?
It would, just as the other provisions that allow someone to decline a nomination would.
Now, let me ask you about criticism from the other side of the aisle. Republicans say Governor Hochul clearly did not make a good choice for lieutenant governor, and she's made her bed, and now she should have to lie in it. What would you say to that?
I'd say they're being very, very political. The clearly is to their advantage to have someone on the ballot that isn't a viable candidate. But it's not to the voters. The gubernatorial candidates that are saying that, if they want to point to poor judgment, or they want to point to Brian Benjamin, they can still do that. But why punish the voters at the same time?
Can you take me through the timeline a little bit? You mentioned there's some urgency here because the primary is in June, which means the ballots have to be printed shortly. So what kind of timeline is actually feasible to change what voters will see?
I checked in preparing the legislation. I checked with the State Board of Elections, and the deadline seems to be May 4th for this year.
And lawmakers come back to Albany April 25th?
Yes, we do. So there is a chance we could do this, but we would need everybody on board. So I just don't know. Next week I'm obviously going to be taking the temperature of a lot of people.
Benjamin, in New York State, in the primary, the lieutenant governor candidate is running separately from the gubernatorial candidate. So if you're successful, what would people see in the vote for lieutenant governor on the primary ballot?
There would be an ability to have a replacement. Remember, Brian Benjamin was the Democratic Party's pick to run. So right now, the Democratic Party as a whole doesn't have a pick on the ballot. There would be an opportunity for the party to get together with their Committee on Vacancies and to propose another candidate in time for the voters to have that choice.
So there's a few steps here, then. Your bill would have to pass, and then the Democratic Party would have to regather for, I guess, a mini convention to nominate a new endorsed candidate for lieutenant governor?
Yes, they would. It would have to be very quick. I think in the bill we say it has to be within 3 days.
How would this affect the general election ballot?
Well, it doesn't. The person who wins it affects it only if this person impacts the primary race, which we assume it would, right? So if that person won, they would be the lieutenant governor, whoever that is. If one of the other two candidates won, they would be the lieutenant governor candidate in the general. And, of course, whoever wins the Democratic primary is the candidate going forward.
What would you say to people listening to this who have lost faith in state government? I mean, this is less than a year after the governor had to resign in a series of scandals. We've seen legislative leaders of both parties arrested on corruption charges in the past. What's your message to people who've given up faith?
There's nobody that's more disappointed than legislative leaders themselves. We work with so many people, and we see their hard work. We see their intelligence. We see how much this job means to them and how much they're working for the people of the state of New York. And so when we see someone who violates that, it's horrible. It's just horrible because it does influence people in a bigger way, frankly, than it should, because most government officials that I have come to work with and know are extraordinary people. We have some bad apples. Every profession does. When it's here, it's even more it's even more disappointing and even more problematic, because we're supposed to be above that. We're supposed to. We have a special mission to protect people and be leading government in an ethical way. And so it's, but it's not everyone, and it's not most, and it's a very few. And so we just have to know that there is a lot of integrity in government. I believe that, and I've been in it for 22 years.
New York State Assemblywoman Amy Paulin from the 88th District, a Democrat. Thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.